we need you to be involved in that. Because what I really, really want to do is create a nice Christmas picture. Because with the first Sunday of Advent, we want to have something nice for Christmas. So what I'd like is if you could tell me what we need to have in that picture. So if we just shout one thing at a time, and then we're going to challenge my spelling, hopefully not. Okay, so what do we need in our Christmas picture to make it feel nice and Christmassy? Mary and Joseph, okay. So I think we're going to create this picture at the front, aren't we? So, Mary and Joseph, can I ask you to come out and hold this? So if you come just in the middle and hold. So what else do we need? Go on. A star was that? Okay, star. Well, I'll go for star. So do you want to come up and hold the star for me? Okay, if you hold that. Sorry, I seem to have got the pad that rips the least well of any pad on the entire planet. So what else have we got? Go on. Yeah, go on. Three wise men. Three wise men, okay. Okay, do you want to come and hold that? Okay. And then, go on. Jesus, excellent. Okay. I have done this one year and nobody in the church thought about adding Jesus in, so well done. Okay. So we want this to be nice and festive, nice and Christmassy. What else have we got? Because at the moment we're doing quite nativity based. Christmas pudding. What else have we got? Something nice and Christmas. A roast dinner. I can't believe nobody said roast dinner till now. Now, you have a choice. Do you want to hold two, or do you want to pick somebody to hold?
Okay.
Sigh of relief from over this way. Okay, there's a roast dinner.
Okay.
Go on, Phil. Christmas lights. I'm sure not influenced by putting up decorations yesterday. And also, is the light switch on going on today, isn't it? Yeah. Okay, anything else? Good, yep.
Christmas tree.
A Christmas tree, okay. Now, would you like to nominate somebody, or do you want to hold two?
Nominate somebody.
Go on. There was never inevitability about that, I think. Yeah. Okay. So what else have we got? Or is that everything there is possible about Christmas? Go on, then.
Carols.
Carols what? Cool. Okay. Do you, same question to you. Nominate or pick? A donkey? Okay, yeah.
Stable.
Okay, if I add stable onto that as well, are you okay with stable being added to donkey?
No, just do
another one. Well, we've got plenty of things we can still do. We've got, there you go. Oh, I need to not walk in front of the speaker. Anything else? Or is that everything about Christmas we could ever think of? What was that, sorry? Father Christmas.
A manger bed.
So Father Christmas. Do you want to hold another one or do you want to nominate?
I don't really know any of the names of people.
Okay. You can point if you want. How do I phrase this? It looks like you're being stitched up at this moment in time.
Okay. Manger man.
Oh, manger?
Yeah, manger.
Okay, you're going to struggle if you want to hold three, though.
I'm going to nominate someone.
Go on, who are you going to nominate?
I'm going to nominate you.
Me, okay. Right, okay, I shall hold this while doing the other bits. Go on, Phil.
Family.
An angel was up. Yeah, okay, yep. Would you like to nominate or would you like to hold another one?
Julie.
Julie. We're running out of people from this side to come up and hold things, so anybody else got anything? Was that sorry?
Presents.
Presents, okay.
Sleigh.
Are you nominating or are you holding them? Okay. One of those.
Santa's sleigh.
Santa's sleigh. Excellent. Are you nominating or are you going to hold another one?
I'll hold another.
You sure? Okay. Right. What have we got so far? So we've got presents, we've got carols, we've got Christmas lights, Christmas pudding, Father Christmas, Mary and Joseph, three wise men, roast dinner,
snowflakes.
Jesus, Christmas tree.
Snowflakes.
Snowflakes. We haven't had snowflakes, have we? So we can do snowflakes. Although for my brother-in-law who lives in Australia, the idea of a wet Christmas is quite strange. And they go for a barbecue on the beach, literally. Are you nominating or are you... Okay. It's impossible to blend completely into the background.
No. This looks like a shepherd.
Are we saying shepherd? If you're happy to. Cool. Okay. Excellent. Thank you very much. So, we have snowflakes, angel, family, the donkey and stable, Christmas tree, Jesus, roast dinner, star and Santa's sleigh, three wise men, Mary and Joseph, Father Christmas, Christmas pudding, Christmas lights, carols, presents, and shepherd. And a manger. Does that sum up Christmas for us?
Yeah.
Is that everything about Christmas?
I can think of another thing.
Okay. So there's other things as well that involve Christmas.
Reindeer.
Reindeer, excellent. But if we had to only keep three, if we had across all of these things we've already got, if we only kept three things to say, actually, this is what Christmas is about for us, what would we keep? And this is, you might need to discuss this amongst yourselves. I'm not going to decide it for you. So people are muttering about Jesus. So do we think Jesus is something that we keep as Christmas? So Jesus, what else was there? And Christmas lights. Santa, sleigh and presents and things. So if we've got Jesus, we've got Christmas lights, what would we want our last one to be? Mary and Joseph?
Family?
Salvation Army at Christmas playing? It can be a bit more difficult, can't it, to think through what is Christmas really all about sometimes? And if we try and bring it back down to what is it at the centre of things?
Jesus.
We've got Jesus, Mary and Joseph and some Christmas lights. But maybe there's some other things as well. But thank you ever so much for coming up. So I think that's not a bad picture of Christmas in there. Okay, you can take your seats now if you want. If you want to keep your thing, you can.
Yeah,
that's fine by me. A word that I'm sure most of us already know is a word that talks of waiting, of something yet to come. Now, say today, this morning, coming across, that it'd be hard to miss that winter has now hit us finally this year. Despite the fact that a lot of trees have still got leaves on, temperatures below freezing, the strong winds and driving rain of yesterday, I think it's fair to say it's now winter. Winter, a time when nature experiences kind of a period of waiting, things all looking a bit grey and bare generally. We know that there's seeds and bulbs and things planted that in a few months will bring the bright colours of spring. But as we look around us now, as we look out into the garden or wander around a park, things can often look a bit empty, perhaps a bit bleak. But I wonder if you've ever waited for something, a parcel, to hear about a job, some news or something else. And at the end of when your waiting period, when the thing finally turned up, it turned out to be very different from what you expected. Maybe you were surprised, disappointed. It didn't seem to live up to what it was that you'd been hoping for. I remember one time when Josh, our son, was doing a school project. And one of the things he needed to do was build a pyramid as part of a big display. We'd ordered something off Amazon. It was a pyramid-shaped cake tin. It looked great online, and it would be the centrepiece of the display that was going to bake this pyramid-shaped cake. It took a while to turn up. It arrived a few days before the display was all supposed to be ready. We opened the package. Ah. We'd kind of misread the advert. It was 8 centimetres tall, not 8 inches tall. This big display at the centre point of what he was doing at school kind of was there, and nobody could see it in amongst everything else. But maybe for some of us, but when we've been waiting for something, that waiting has been waiting on God. Maybe we've wanted God to act, to answer a prayer of ours, or fulfil some sort of dream that we've got. And perhaps as you've been waiting, you've experienced disappointment with God. If those prayers don't seem to have been answered when you wanted or how you wanted, or the things that have arrived haven't lived up to expectations. And it's important that when we wait with God, when he fulfills those things, and if perhaps they're not what we expected or what we wanted, rather than ignoring that, we bring those things to God. God can handle us being honest, telling him how we feel about things. And during Advent, one of the characters that tends to rear his head quite a lot is John the Baptist. He was someone who talked about the coming of Jesus, the Saviour of the world. And John would have been well aware of the prophecies and the scripture and everything that talked and pointed towards the coming Messiah. But put yourself in the place of John the Baptist for just a moment. You've been proclaiming this coming of God's kingdom, a kingdom of judgment, of fire, of needing to change before it's too late, that it's going to be something big and dramatic. You've criticised the powers that be, called them to repentance and radical life change. You've seen Jesus baptised, sent out by the Spirit, and your hopes are well and truly set on him being this fulfilment of hundreds of years of waiting. But then, you're thrown in prison. And Jesus, although brilliant, isn't quite doing all the things that you expected of him. The Romans are still in power. Corrupt priests and teachers are still in charge at the temple. The vengeance and divine retribution promised by Isaiah doesn't seem to have happened. Where's that judgment and fire you said was coming? And in Matthew's Gospel we read, when John, who was in prison, heard about the deeds of the Messiah, he sent his disciples to ask him, "Are you the one who is to come, Or should we expect someone else? Not words of somebody who was completely confident in who Jesus was at that point. John seems confused, even disappointed with what's happening. This wasn't that glorious future that he had hoped for. And perhaps we can empathise with John in this. There's areas in life where we've felt disappointment or been discouraged by events around us. But one of the things we can do when we read in Scripture is we can follow John's example of being honest with God about those disappointments, asking the questions, lamenting the difficult experiences and handing them over to God. And we also see crucially in this passage in Matthew 11, that Jesus is big enough to deal with their sadness and their confusion in the situation, to understand what is going on with John, but also what is going on in our own lives. We can think about what John was expecting. Someone to save God's people from Roman rule. Someone to throw off the oppression of living in an occupied territory. There was previously the example of Moses leading God's people out of slavery and into the promised land. And this saviour was going to be even greater. So who knows what sort of things John would have been expecting from him. And what did he get? A Jesus who is a very different kind of king. A different kind of king to the one that everyone was expecting. Whose kingdom was not about power and might, but about love and self-sacrifice. Jesus' victories didn't come with swords and chariots. Instead, it lifted up the poor, the sick, the vulnerable. He didn't force people or coerce them to follow him. Instead, he revealed the heart of God and invites them to freely choose him as their Lord. We read in this passage that Jesus responds to John's disciples, "Go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor." Each of those is a fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecies. They are beautiful, remarkable acts of kindness and of justice. But what they aren't, though, is the judgment and victory over the enemies that they had been expecting or hoping for. This is not what John had been picturing. And we read, he began to doubt whether Jesus really was the Messiah after all. John had got his mind so fixed on this idea of the destination of what he thought that they were heading for, that he missed out on the journey. He imagined a future of judgment and justice which had not yet arrived. And he's allowing that to distract him from the signs of the kingdom of God. Perhaps, like John, we need to allow God to meet us as we wait, to see how he is bringing his kingdom around us, even though we aren't yet at the final destination. What John missed, and what for some of us we can often forget, is the now and not yet of God's kingdom. Jesus' arrival 2,000 years ago, it heralded the start of God's kingdom, and his return will be complete when he returns. It will be the establishment of the new heavens and new earth, God's kingdom fully realised. But for now, we live in the in-between times. We live between those two events of Jesus arriving and him returning. We live in the now and not yet of God's kingdom. And we're looking forward to the time when there'll be no more pain, no more suffering, where we will rest in God's presence eternally. But for now, we're waiting. Earlier, we all came up with things that we're looking forward to for Christmas, the things that make Christmas for us. We thought about some of the things that we've built up around the arrival of Jesus, the things that the society around us in some ways has made it, but also the things we've made it as well. We have Jesus at the centre, but there's so many other things that go on that distract us from what God is doing. Some of that's good, some of it's fun, but some of it is perhaps a distraction. So we've got this big Christmas thing going on and about to be happening. Although, for some reason, the supermarkets seem to think that Christmas and Advent starts in September. But we've got the things that went into our picture. We've got the Christmas lights, we've got Jesus, we've got the stable, we've got the manger, we've got all of the other things, the roast dinners. We've built it up into this big celebration. But in the middle of this, a baby is born in a stable. God is arriving here with us. Not what was expected, not how it was wanted, not what they thought they were waiting for, but God here with us. So I guess there's a question here. What are we waiting for? What about the church here? What is it that Sandy Baptist is waiting for? Are we waiting for a big extravaganza, all the bells, all the whistles? Or are we waiting to hear the cry of a baby, laying in a stable 2,000 years ago, but that calls out through history? A cry that tells us of humble beginnings, of second chances, of God being present, turning up and meeting us where we are. Are we still waiting for that? Or have we heard that voice, prompting us, guiding us, leading us forward? Is it a voice drowned out in the busyness of the lives around us? Or do we hear clearly the voice of the shepherd who calls us home? As we listen for that voice, as we wait, we need to be prepared for God to move and to be prepared to be surprised by what God does. History teaches us that both individually and as churches, God moves in ways we don't expect, ways we perhaps don't understand at the time, sometimes in ways that leads us to places of pain and discomfort. But above all, history teaches us that whatever, we know that we can trust a God who knows us, who loves us, and is leading us forward to a life overflowing. I can think of so many instances in my life where, as I look back, there were times and it was, what are you doing, God? Why am I? I followed you into this place and now it's this. That's not what I thought. That's not what I wanted. And then I look back in a few years' time and go, ah, I see what you were doing there, Lord. I see how you were guiding me. I see how you were training me for this other thing. Or I was again experiencing this. And I'm sure I'm not unique in that. That we can see times how God has guided us through our lives. And it hasn't always looked how we expected. But now, as we wait for Christmas, as we put Jesus at the centre of what we do, as we look forward to celebrating that Christmas, let's pause. Let's listen for that voice, the voice of the one who came at Christmas, and be prepared to set out on that amazing adventure with him, whatever that looks like. Because it is worth the risk. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you you're not some distant, far-off deity that doesn't get involved with us, but you're here with us now. Father, I thank you for all of our experiences, the ways you've been guiding and leading us forward, Lord. Father, help us to hear your voice. Help us to hear the quiet whisper in amongst the busyness of life. Father, help us to put you at the centre of all that we are and all that we do. Father, help us not to miss you in this season coming up as we look forward to Christmas. Father, be with us now. Amen.